You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Meat Friday. Got the Traegers fired up. Got wings today. Wings and sausages for the boys. Come on in, stay a while if you can. We're going to talk to Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, covers college football. Is he going to be covering college football this season? And also that back and forth between Jim Harbaugh and the Ohio State head coach Ryan Day yesterday. I loved it. I hope that we get a game between those two this year, but a little back and forth there. And Harbaugh always wins the spring and the month of August. He has problems with some of the other months there. But, you know, back and forth there. If you've ever seen that movie, Memento, and it's Guy Pearce. Guy Pearce doesn't remember what happens. He has very, very short-term memory or no memory whatsoever. So he'll actually tattoo things on his body to remember them. Jim Harbaugh is like Guy Pearce in Memento. He doesn't remember last year's result or the year before that or the year before that or the year before that. But we'll talk to 40 about that coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Damian Lillard, 11 three-pointers last night. So he's got 247 for the season, breaking his own team record. Third career game with at least 10 three-pointers. That's tied for third most all-time. Steph Curry with 15. Klay Thompson with 5. Damian Lillard with 3. James Harden, 3, and of course, J.R. Smith in there with 3 as well. Yeah, we say good morning to our radio and TV partners, the folks in chat row. The NFL's opt-out deadline was yesterday at 4 Eastern, and over 60 players decided that they will not play this season. No surprise, some people are criticizing those players, but I can't judge somebody for their personal reasons. Guys are having babies or high-risk members in their family. And it's tough to have one foot in when you're going to have one foot out and you're going to try to play the sport of football. You know, the physically demanding sport that it is requires a lot of focus. It's already inherently dangerous. And then you add the risk of COVID. And I know we want to see our teams fully assembled, but adaptability might be the most important quality in 2020. The healthiest team might be the team to beat this upcoming season. The number of players opting out is set. And it's time to get to work. Now we have college football players who are opting out. That doesn't mean that they can't opt back in. But you're also seeing some of these smaller conferences looking to play football in the spring. What's the poll question we're going to go with, McLovin?
Okay, so hour one was who would you bet on, the Lakers or Clippers? Clippers actually won that.
Where'd you come up with that voice?
I was just trying to be sexy.
I know, but don't.
Effective. It's
hot.
Working.
Hot. So I have a poll question that's right in your alley. Which 4-0 bubble team are you more excited about, the Blazers or the Suns? Because you're the only one in this room who knows anything about the Suns, but they can't be beat right now. They whooped the Pacers last night.
Oh, the Suns are 4-0 in the bubble. They won last night.
The side question is, who's a better shooter, Devin Booker or Damian Lillard?
Damian Lillard, I would take. I love Devin Booker. Damian Lillard is more dangerous. Devin Booker is a really talented shooter. He's on the short list of best shooters in the game. But Damian Lillard, if you say I got a big game and I can have one of those two, I'd still take Damian Lillard. Yeah, Paulie.
We were just talking about most upside the playoffs. If Damian Lillard could get his team in and get his team to advance to round two over you-know-who, yeah, that's a way you get national attention. I mean, anyone knows anything about basketball knows who Damian Lillard is. But the casual sports fan, that's the way you put your name out there.
And Phoenix is a fun team right now, and maybe they grow into something. Portland has the ability to be a dangerous team. The question is, can they get in, and what are the Lakers going to look like if that matchup happens there? But Portland does have size. They have shooters. They have some depth. If they had Trevor Ariza, as strange as this is going to sound, and I even said this with the Rockets, he's a valuable, valuable guy. Because he's not a guy you have to worry about him getting his touches and any of that stuff. He just is one of those guys who fills in the gray area for a team. And, you know, Portland was trying to get him to come back because he's just that valuable. Yeah, McLovin.
So the other teams, are the Pelicans and the Spurs and the Kings really non-factors? The Pelicans aren't even discussed anymore.
Well, they're discussed. We discussed them because of Zion Williamson. Last night, he played well, but they didn't. They lost again. So they're going to go through the motions the last couple of regular season games, and it looks like it comes down to Memphis is limping to the finish line as well.
So my question was, if the say, God forbid, the Lakers got knocked down the first round and there's no Zion in those playoffs, Ooh. Is that a worry for the NBA? Ooh. That
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. The numbers are down with people watching. I don't know if that has to, how much that has to do with the social movement with players. The fact that there's no ambiance there when you're watching these games. But the numbers aren't great. If you had Milwaukee against the Lakers or Toronto against the Lakers, let's say Milwaukee against the Clippers or Toronto against the Clippers, you're not going to have big numbers there. I mean, LeBron is a tune-in factor. There are very, very few players that people who are casual fans. That's why, this is something that Dick Ebersol, who ran NBC Sports for so many years, his brilliance with the Olympics was he wanted to make sure your mom, your daughter, your wife, your girlfriend, the non-sports fan was going to watch the Olympics. That's when you get the big number. How do I attract you as an audience? So what did he do? Gymnastics was featured front and center, prominent, a lot of swimming and diving. But you're giving these stories that, your mom or your wife or your daughter is going to buy into, and then you start to root for that athlete as they progress in the Olympics. It's not just for us. The Olympics were programmed for somebody who's not the hardcore sports fan. In the NBA, your casual basketball fan would probably tune in to watch LeBron. But what other player are they going to tune in? Diehard fans? Of course, we're watching. The Greek Freak? Only because of the nickname. And he's fun to watch. He just, there's no, oh my gosh. And you start to think of how many of those oh my gosh guys you have, and that's why you're probably not going to get the big numbers there. Patrick Mahomes is tune-in factor worthy because you're watching somebody who might be the next great quarterback of all time. And that's a Kansas City team that was fun to watch. And it's the Super Bowl. But you also get people who understand who is playing. You're not tuning in to see the San Francisco 49ers as a casual football fan. The Super Bowl, with what's at stake, you will. Patrick Mahomes is tune-in worthy. Tom Brady is, because what's at stake with his legacy? Drew Brees, tune-in factor worthy. You start to go down the list. Is Christian McCaffrey tune-in factor worthy? You're not going to be playing in important games. So when you start to think about it, how many athletes are tune-in factor worthy if you're just a casual fan? And we talked about Mike Trout yesterday. If Mike Trout is in the World Series, you might watch and go, okay, guy seems pretty good. He does everything right. Aaron Judge is tune-in worthy. Bryce Harper is tune-in worthy. Some pitchers, Clayton Kershaw, tune-in worthy. Maybe Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom. But it's not a long list there. Yeah, Paul.
You're right. There's some guys that are great players, but you don't play and unite around them. I was watching the Sixers the other day, and I'm watching Embiid. I'm like, boy, he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
They have no answer. He's outside. He's inside. There's nothing he can't do. But then sometimes I sit there going, why isn't he a bigger deal?
He's not exciting.
But when you actually stumble upon his game, and you're a true basketball fan, you're like, wow, this guy has it all.
But watch Jokic with the Nuggets. You had Greg Popovich say, he reminds me of Larry Bird.
And Kawhi Leonard's that way. I don't tune in to see the Clippers, but when I soak up a Clippers game, I'm like, man, Kawhi's got everything. He's a great three-point shooter.
He's just not exciting. Yeah, McLovin.
If Embiid won a title, then he'd be excited. Or Jokic. Kawhi's different.
Jokic would not be. You're not tuning in to watch a guy throw a backdoor pass. I mean, you're just not.
But is it because they're not a threat to win the title usually?
No, Kawhi is a threat to win the title, but he's not tune-in factor worthy for me. I mean, he's just a wonderful player. I'd rather watch Klay Thompson than I would Kawhi Leonard. He's more interesting, more exciting. Steph Curry, tune-in worthy. But when you get those big numbers, it's because the casual fan is curious about something. I mean, Tiger. the casual golf fan, even non-golf fans, still tune in for Tiger Woods. That's why whenever you see the leaderboard and they'll get to Tiger, there can be 15 guys at 2-under. Tiger will be the first name at 2-under because they want you to watch their coverage. Bryson DeChambeau, the curiosity is great. Brooks Koepka, he might be like Kawhi Leonard, you know? He doesn't have to say much. His game, all right. He's a great golfer. But tune-in factor worthy? Probably not. DeChambeau? Yes. Tiger? Yes. Jordan Spieth for a while. Rory for a little while. Justin Thomas? Nah. John Rahm? Nah. Yeah, Paul.
But what's interesting about Brooks Koepka, 4 years ago, he was playing great, but I wasn't interested in him. Then he started doing interviews, and one of the first ones I heard was on this show. And he let his personality out there, and he became a character. And now you know what he's about. It's not just, hey, he's got a tan and biceps. And a nice visor. He's actually a guy you know.
He doesn't wear a visor.
Off the field, he does. Big visor, like Matthew Stafford.
Big visor. By the way, if you have a podcast idea, then I'd like to go into business with you. Next Great Podcast Contest, thanks to my friends at iHeartRadio, nextgreatpodcast.com. Get the details, submit your pitch. You have until the end of this month. We're going to select up to 10 semifinalists, give them $1,000 to produce a pilot episode. Then the listeners are going to vote on this. And we're going to find out who is the next great podcast. Go to nextgreatpodcast.com, and I hope to be working with you because the winner and I will be partners. Charles Barkley last night on TNT had this to say about digital fans in the stands. I'm being told by Alan, the IT guy, that it's not playing. Paulie said you're going to love the Barkley quote.
Trust me, it's great.
Okay.
The digital fans actually left him speechless.
Oh, okay. All right.
Terrible.
Phil in Indiana. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Dan, always a pleasure. I think the Kawhi Leonard thing is very interesting. I wanted to comment on and get your thoughts. If he wins a third with a third team, I think he gets elevated to the best player in the game. However, I do think if the Toronto Raptors somehow wins, maybe that greatness is diminished. I wanted to get your thoughts, and have a great weekend, Dan.
You too, Phil. Thank you. Thank you for calling. You know, Kawhi doesn't play or doesn't care about the regular season. Gets into the postseason, he's obviously great. And if he would do it again this year, I don't know if he would be elevated. We like to know who our stars are. We you know, you want that personality. You want to feel like you know a little bit more about him. I have no idea who Kawhi Leonard is, and he has no interest in letting me know who he is. We have the Charles Barkley comment here that it's worth waiting for. Here's Charles Barkley on the virtual fans.
People, can they, she wanted to know because she's nosy. Can they, the players, they can't see those people in the stands, can they?
No, they're virtual.
Can't see them.
Yeah, they see the same. They see the
dummy is a screen.
There's a screen.
Okay, it's a screen. Oh, but they see faces.
They see everything. The same thing.
I was just asking. Maybe they were superimposing for the people at home.
It's not super.
It's like in baseball. You know, you can look in the stands but not see anything when they have those all those fans in the stands.
Yeah, so
Auburn
they don't.
Can't see those.
Okay,
have you never been on a conference call?
Like I asked a dumb question.
It is a dumb question. Have you never been on a conference call since the pandemic has started?
What do you mean?
A Zoom call, a Comcast call?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, like Shaq's in the stands. Do they only see that at home was my question.
Oh, my gosh.
They see the screen.
Okay, thank you, Ernie.
Yes. And they actually see
the
basketball.
Hey, don't try to embarrass me. Don't call me dumb on television.
Yes, Eden.
I don't see why that's dumb at all. Half of the stuff that we see on TV, the players don't see.
Yeah.
There's all like sponsorship things and logos and like all kinds of digital things that the players don't see at all.
Yes, McLeod.
There are a lot of fans that they don't see that are superimposed on TV.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. We've seen like full stadiums sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, we've had questions here where we go, wait, can they hear the noise in the arena or at the ballpark? I mean, we've had those questions before.
It's like yelling at the quarterback who slid just before that huge yellow line. Like, idiot, just the yellow line's right there.
Why doesn't he get that yellow stuff on his jersey?
Just right there.
Tyler in South Dakota joins us on this award-winning program. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Dan, I just wanted to call and thank you and the boys. I've been on quarantine since March from school, and next week we're starting back up with our high school football and school stuff, so I won't be able to listen or watch on YouTube. I'll have to go back to listen on the podcast. But you guys have been a bright spot in my day, and just really enjoy the 3 hours that you give us, so thank you.
Now, Tyler, you can get the shows on demand on YouTube, any of them. When you get home, you can go to YouTube, The Dan Patrick Show, and you're able to watch. So I'm going to do that just for you, Tyler.
Well, I know that, okay. But it's easier to put you in my – oh, my gosh. It's easier to –
What's going on there, Tyler? Why is she upset?
She wants to go, so.
Okay. Well, you go, Tyler, because I don't want your sister yelling at you.
No, that's not my sister. That's my daughter.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't want your daughter.
Yeah, I'm a teacher. Yeah, I'm not going back to school to learn. Oh. I'm going to educate.
Okay.
Is this like 21 Jump Street?
I thought he was like 15 and he had a sister. Yeah. I didn't know, Tyler. I'm sorry, you didn't. How old are you, Tyler?
I think 36. Maybe that's my wife.
Yeah, the kids all call him the narc.
Thank you. Like, thank you, Tyler. He sounded like he was 15. I thought that might have been his sister.
Walking in with a backpack.
No. I'm not going back to learn. I'm a teacher. All right. That's E-Me.
Dude, we were all on the same page there, buddy.
Yeah. My bad. That's how I sounded when I was like 17. All right, we'll take a break here. Do you think Pat Forty has anything positive to say about college football?
No.
Oh, I can't do this on a Friday.
But he's a cheery, personable guy.
No, so he's not a cheery, personable guy.
The actual news he'll be sharing can't possibly be anything remotely positive.
I just want to know, why is there no sound of Harbaugh and Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, going back and forth? McLevin, have you heard?
I don't think the press was on that call, were they? So how do they know word for word what they said?
Was this just the coaches got on a conference call to talk to one another?
I think so, but we have to go into this a little further. I don't know.
I don't want to compare notes to anybody else. All right, we'll talk to Pat Forty. He better have something positive to say about college. It's Friday. He better have something to say. All right, we'll take a break here. 19 after the hour. This is the Positive Thinking Dan Patrick Show. Oh, my Sleep Number bed. You know what I love about her? She's always there waiting for me. And it's just like this nice hug that you get. And I told my wife, I said, I love you, but that Sleep Number bed, I can always count on, return love. Sometimes my wife is gone, but that Sleep Number bed is always there for me. The 360 smart bed, and you can save up to $500 on select smart beds. So shop your way. You can go to Sleep Number store or go online, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. And my Sleep Number setting is 75. They have a lot of tips for you to get a great night's sleep. And as more places reopen and we safely enjoy summer, quality sleep is more important than ever. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, it's also helpful with energy and recovery. Go in and check out the 360 Smart Bed. For a limited time, save up to $500 on select smart beds. Sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life is a race, visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. Pat Forty covers college sports for Sports Illustrated. He's a senior writer. I'm hopeful that he's got something positive to say because he has been on a negative streak, and Pat Forty joins us on the program. Let's start with good news with college football. What do you have for me, Pat?
Well, some practices are underway. Some teams are working out, actually, like, you know, hitting each other, swapping a little spit out there. We'll see if it actually leads to real football games between different institutions of higher learning. Not sure we'll get there, but by golly, you know, we're taking small steps, Dan, baby steps toward a season. How's that?
How big a news was the Connecticut opt-out?
Well, I mean, it was significant. First FBS program to say we're not playing. You know, that's a state that has very restrictive state local guidelines right now, travel restrictions. And they don't have a schedule, a full schedule, because they're an independent team, had opted out of a conference. So, you know, it's hard to know for sure if this is 100% health and safety related versus the logistics of the season as an independent that nobody really cares about. It's not Notre Dame as an independent, it's UConn. But it's significant that somebody said, no, we're not going to do it. They won't be the last, I don't believe, but they certainly are the first.
How big are the opt-outs so far with the players themselves?
I think they're very big. You know, a lot of big names going, and there's a lot of speculation and rumor about that there's going to be a whole bunch more in the future. I think a lot of them are kind of holding their cards right now, waiting to see if there even is a season, because they don't want to be the one that steps up and says, no, I don't want to play. If they don't have to, if there's not going to be a season in the fall, then they can just say, okay, well, there's no season in the fall, and they're certainly not going to play in the spring. But, you know, you're seeing some big-time receivers from the Big Ten, Micah Parsons, the linebacker from the Big Ten as well. You know, there's some big names opting out with more to come, and I do think it underscores to me, Dan, first of all, yeah, I mean, they're taking their future very seriously as potential NFL players, but also – there's this sense or this feeling that, you know, college football is almost as much of a risk as a reward these days for high-level prospects. It's like, this is something I have to go through to get to the NFL, and all I get out of this is potentially a torn ACL, as opposed to, oh boy, I get to play college football.
Yeah, I don't know where we're headed, and I know that I've had doubts, but they're substantiated. They're rooted in actual reality, you know, because two sources have been with me all along just to say this is going to happen. They're going to try to do this. I'm just trying to look at the likelihood that this is pulled off is what?
I think the likelihood that we start is 50-50. The likelihood that we finish is 10-90, I would say, or 20-80. I just think that there's a lot of things that could go wrong. And when they do, I think you're going to see administrators start getting a little bit squeamish and backing off. And I think, you know, if there's going to be a lot of certain segment on campuses and in the general public that are like, why are we doing this? Or why is just FBS football doing this when everybody else is going the other way and saying we shouldn't play? And I think the answer comes down to they want the money, they need the money, and that answer may not go over very well with some people.
Pat Forty covers college athletics for Sports Illustrated, their senior writer joining us, Dan Patrick Show. Also, CBSSports.com came out with an article yesterday that talked about the NCAA, as far as basketball goes, may try to bubble their teams. I don't know the possibility of doing something like that. Obviously, you have less players and staff that you would have to quarantine or bubble. The likelihood we could see a college basketball season that closely resembles what we have in Orlando is what?
Ooh, I think it's going to be tough to pull off. I can understand the theory, you know, that maybe you bring, you know, half of a conference into Indianapolis if you're the Big Ten or something, or Chicago, and you have, you know, you play games for round the clock or 12 hours a day for 4 days or whatever and get in as many games as you can, something like that. But geez Louise, you know, it's tough, or much tougher to pull off when you're talking about guys that theoretically have classes, even if they're not in person, they still have classes online. Other logistics from other sports on campus that you're trying to take care of as well. I just think it's much harder to do in a college setting than it would be in a pro setting, and I just don't think they can pull it off.
You had a conference call with the coaches in the Big Ten, and that was on Monday, right? And we just got some details that Jim Harbaugh kept interrupting Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, and basically accusing him of violating an NCAA rule. Now, why isn't the media on that call, or that we don't have the audio from that?
The media, we're not invited to most of those calls. I mean,
but what is the conference call for? The coaches get together and do what?
I don't know. Probably talk about, you know, how many positive tests do you guys have? How many do you guys have? You know, that sort of thing. But there's calls going on basically all day, every day in some of these leagues that we hear nothing about. But we certainly heard about this one. It was pretty good, I got to say.
It's so good. I said earlier in the show, Harbaugh wins the spring. He doesn't win in the fall, but he wins the spring. He's always got, you know, a trip with his players. He's got something to say here. And then Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, reportedly told his players, we're going to hang 100 on Michigan when they meet. That's at Ohio State. And the last time they were there, they could have easily put up 80 on them that day. They put up 63 or whatever. They could have put 80 if they wanted to.
Oh, they could. That's the thing. It's, again, Harbaugh better get his points now because he's not going to get enough of them in the fall in October when they play. So, this is what we want out of Ohio State, Michigan, right? It's just absolute hatred. And, yeah, if Ryan Day can run it up on him, hey, look out. He just might.
Hey, good to talk to you, Pat. Have a good weekend. And let me know if you ever have any good news to talk about with college football.
I'll try to be positive next week.
All right. That's Pat 40. Covers college athletics for Sports Illustrated. After a while, that's why when I hear members of the media saying, oh, there are a certain faction of the media that's rooting for baseball to collapse, the season will end. And I go, why would I want something to end that makes my job harder? Oh, you don't want college football. So why do I want college football not to happen? We already went through this. I went through 3.5 months where there was no sports whatsoever. I'm skeptical, but that doesn't mean I'm not rooting for this. But I can't understand where you have members of the media saying, you know, these guys are rooting for the sport to not start or go away. I hope baseball has a postseason. Why wouldn't I not want to root for that? Or college football. It makes my job harder. When you have games to talk about, you can exhale a little bit. Instead of saying, hey, we might have fans in the stands. Hey, we might have a season. We might start but not finish. Like, I hate bringing that news to you every day. And you hate hearing it every day. But that's why I just ask the people who I don't think have a vested interest in this where they're blind. You know, I think that coaches are in denial right now. And I asked Randy Edsall, the UConn head coach, yesterday. Now, he didn't answer. He laughed. But I feel like there are athletic directors, chancellors, presidents, coaches who are in denial right now. Maybe they pull it off. Maybe you get a couple of conferences that play football this year. Maybe. I hope. But in no way am I rooting for the pandemic. No. Pandemic, you know, Vegas has got them listed as pretty impressive odds. But just saying. I'm rooting for the underdog here, college football. Yeah, Paul.
That's what's wild about college football compared to the NFL is that it's a conference-by-conference decision. If the Big Ten says, we're shutting it down, the SEC could say, we'll play through, and they'll get all the ratings and all the money.
Yeah.
It's not – Mark Emmert and the NCAA, they're, like we said before, they're a way station for the cash. They don't decide anything.
A couple of phone calls in here. Amy in California joining us. Good morning, Amy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. 5'8", 150, doing a barefoot beach run here in beautiful Carlsbad.
Nice.
California. I wanted to rib you because when you were talking about Dick Ebersol, you said that he wanted to, you know, get the non-sports fans to watch. And your group was the wives, the mothers, and the daughters. So I had to call you and rib you because girls are sports fans too. And just calling to just give you a little rib there.
Well, it's not just women. And thank you, Amy. But this is the strategy for decades. You know, I'm not making it up or throwing in that demographic here. I'm just saying that he wanted to make diehard sports fans are going to watch, men and women. But his goal was to get the casual. He wanted your mom watching. She might not have been a diehard sports fan. Or your daughters to watch. They might not be diehard sports fans. So I don't, I, if I came off as sexist, then I apologize. That's not what I was trying to. I'm just conveying what the message was. It's not my opinion. It's just that's how you get a large audience, because you get everybody. It's more inclusive. And that was the strategy with the Olympics. Casual sports fans are going to watch. Let me see. How about Alex in Minnesota? Hi, Alex. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan. 5'8", a hard quarantine 210.
Hard.
I got a shout out for McLovin and you, pretty much. So are you guys going to be like the Chiefs? Since you guys got Ethan now, you're going to trade McLovin away and so you guys can win that sports Emmy? I'll hang up and listen.
Wow. Wow. Alex, on a Friday. Yes, McLovin.
Was that his name was Alex?
Yeah.
Was that Alex Smith?
It could have been Alex Smith because he could relate to your situation. Ethan is the Patrick Mahomes in waiting here.
Right. And I ripped Alex Smith the day he signed a $75 million contract. Now, if I can get a $75 million contract with the Redskins, or the then that'd be an okay landing spot.
Yeah, or another show.
Have you seen that Alex Smith has been playing a little bit?
Yeah.
Could happen, maybe. It's a Redskins.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be an unbelievable comeback story. I couldn't get through that documentary. I could not get through it because you're looking at a guy who, so you imagine you go to work that day, you're playing in a game, and then the next thing you know is you might lose your leg. And when it comes to football injuries, that's not a traditional one. But God, you can't help but root for Alex Smith. And imagine this, that San Francisco moved on from him and brought in Colin Kaepernick, and the Kansas City Chiefs moved on from him to bring in Patrick Mahomes. And then you go to Washington, and you think that's going to be your team, and then this happens. You can't help but root for him. Jeff in Detroit joins us. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, Dan? Long time no here. Been a busy week. First of all, shout out to the Backroom Bros 1215 podcast coming up today. I cannot wait on it. I really love it. What up, though, the chat row? And I might be consuming too much of your program. Dig this here. Here I am, sleep, trying to catch up on the shows that I miss on YouTube. I have a dream that I get a call from one Paul Paps telling me that the Dan Patrick Show is going to be doing a pie and cobbler fair with the Traeger Grills and everybody out. Oh, my goodness, it was so glorious. And then Paul starts naming the types of pies that are going to be the lemon custard, meringue, blah, blah, blah. So when I wake up, my pillow is soggy as hell. I'm drooling looking around, and I have to really ask myself, did I just have a wet dream about the Dan Patrick Show? Fat Boys, hey, that's a Fat Boys wet dream right there. I woke up looking for steaks and pies and then put nothing around, bruh.
Thank you, Snacks. That's Jeff in Detroit, a.k.a. Snacks. Who?
A cobbler festival sounds like a great idea.
Jeff, I think you got to stop watching for a little while. I think it's probably best for all of us if you do. Take the weekend off. By the way, you mentioned that the Backroom guys, the BRGs, they have a podcast now. They dropped their podcast last week. It's out on Friday. It's on danpatrick.com, Seton. Is that where we can find the BRGs?
It's anywhere you can find a
podcast.
Find
a podcast.
You can find the 1215 Club.
Yeah, so they call themselves the 12. Well, I call them the 1215 Club because every Meat Friday, the Backroom guys can't eat until after we've had something to eat, and that's usually at 1215. And the big German came up with the 1215 rule, and he pretty much enforces that. Now, the French kid one day, I think he had a chicken wing in his mouth or something. I went out there. It was like 12:07. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm eating. I go, no.
That doesn't apply to me.
No.
12:15, really? Me? Yeah.
I'm the French kid. I'm a cinematographer.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Yeah. But it was. So they started a podcast. Now you have the big German, Marvin the Prince, Tyler the Moderator, Ario, and Dylan. And they just give their thoughts about the show the entire week. I think they have two guests. Who is anybody being asked to be? I was on the first podcast last week. Todd, you're on?
I am on today.
And what is the topic?
I think they want to get into cheating scandals involving my academic accomplishments.
Ooh, okay. Is anybody else? Paulie?
I'm really curious to see who the guest is on their sixth episode, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Well, will they get to a sixth episode? It's week by week, but Todd is in there, but Aereo is your host. Yeah, I'm trying to get you to tune in. I probably shouldn't have said that.
He's trying his best.
Yes, he is.
He is.
He's trying his best. His absolute best. All right, we'll take a break here. More phone calls coming up here. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Who says there's not a home field advantage in baseball? Philadelphia Phillies might not have fans inside Citizens Ballpark, but that didn't stop some of the supporters from getting the attention of Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, on Thursday. A group of fans gathered behind the fence, the center field fence, the center field concourse, and they were blowing an air horn when the Yankees starter Jordan Montgomery was making his pitches. So Aaron Boone, the manager, goes out to the umpires and wants them to do something about it. But since the fans were outside, not in the stadium, the umpires had no recourse. After the Phillies broadcast mentioned that Boone's visit to the umpires, the fans began chanting Boone's name, but they did not stop blowing the air horns during the pitches. I'm going to guess this is just the start of it. It's probably going to get a little worse there in these stadiums. Yes, Todd?
I have a lot of empathy for Aaron Boone because when I was 8 years old pitching in Little League, the other team in the third base dugout was screaming and yelling, "We want a pitcher, not a Billy Itchin," all the things to try to distract me. And it was my first year in Little League, and I didn't realize that that's something that you can do. And it was really bothering me. I'm walking guys. I'm losing focus. I call timeout, and I go over to the first base dugout, and I wave my coach over, my manager, and he meets me at the, down the first baseline. He's like, "What's the matter?" I go, "The other team's making all this noise. I really can't concentrate with the pitching." Instead of him telling me, you know, they're allowed to do that, I guess he wanted me to learn a lesson. He goes, "Why don't you go tell the home plate ump what you just told me?" So I waved the home plate ump. He meets me between the catcher and the mound. And I go, "Yeah, I'm trying to pitch here. And the other team is screaming and yelling at me. Can you make them stop? Son, go back on the mound and pitch."
If you said somebody was going to tell me that story today and it was one of the Danettes, I would have bet my life that it would have been you who would have been telling me that story. Yes, Eden.
One of my favorite memories of Little League is actually about my cousin. His last name is Felice. And there was this one kid named Kevin Mannion, and he used to always, every time that my cousin was pitching, this one kid, he was the only voice that would do it, would go, "Feliz Navidad," da, 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 da. And somewhere about the fourth inning, if my cousin was still pitching, I'm hearing, "Feliz Navidad," he would step off the mound and go, "Shut up!" It was the best. Was, and here's Kevin Mann, big smile on his face, "Feliz Navidad."
Jeff in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Jeff. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP, that's the least surprising Fritzy story ever.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about your watchability argument or your topic. It's intriguing. With how it relates to Giannis, we have a CEO that tried to use Giannis as a story of, you know, teamwork and working hard and stuff. It didn't go well. He's a casual sports fan at best, but he tried.
Yeah.
Point is, he's endlessly fascinated by Giannis. It's his backstory, his work ethic, his ability on the court, what he sees on the court. And so I just think that he does have those qualities. But I'll give you a flip side. I've turned a lot of Bucks games off this year because they're just killing dudes. So I do see your point. I think Giannis has more watchability, maybe not as much as LeBron, but he should be in that same category.
Well, talent-wise, he is, but as far as tune-in factor, he's not. He might be the best player in the game, win an MVP again. We heard his backstory last year. And see, LeBron reinvented himself this year with the Lakers, playoff team, got Anthony Davis, led the league in assist. So he kind of recreated something, but he also reinvented himself. And then it became a really unique story. And they were the number one team in the West. We had heard the Greek Freak story. Then we move on from that. That's how, you know, Steve Nash was a great story. Was the MVP. He was MVP twice. Shaq should have won it one of those times. But we had already heard Shaq's story. James Harden was a new story. Russell Westbrook was a new story. And it doesn't mean that they didn't turn in great seasons. It's a great story to tell. You know, Jordan didn't win. Karl Malone won an MVP. Charles Barkley won an MVP. Who was the most valuable player in the league? Michael Jordan. But Karl Malone wasn't tune-in factor worthy. But Utah Jazz would win 60-plus games. And I think you have to be able to separate greatness and tune-in factor. Because Karl Malone was great, but not tune-in factor. And I'm talking about the casual fan. I mean, there's only a few of those athletes that we've seen. Like, Tiger changed it for everybody. Because, you know, with social media, you know, Tiger, if Tiger was playing and Tiger was, you know, on the back nine of a major, people tuned in. They were watching something they hadn't seen before. Non-golf fans would watch. If Michael Jordan was playing now, the tune-in factor would be remarkable if he was able to do what he did back in the 90s. But how many of those athletes do we have? Steph Curry became tune-in factor worthy because just his size, how far he shot from, and they were winning. You win championships. So, you know, the casual fan, that's what you're looking for. Can you get the casual fan? Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think hockey will ever get another Gretzky like Connor McDavid?
Well, you may have that. You know, Sidney Crosby was great, but he wasn't tune-in factor worthy.
How about McDavid?
Man. You listen to some of these analysts there, and they talk about his footwork and his eye-hand coordination and his speed. And they say it's nobody's ever had that combination like him. But is he playing on the big stage? He's 23 years of age. You got Gretzky won. Edmonton. We cared about Edmonton. And then he goes to the Kings. You know, we cared about him. They were playing for championship. They were in the Stanley Cup final. You're watching them. And you were watching something. We want to see something we haven't seen before. You know? That's what, you know, Michael did that to all the NBA players. We're like, okay. And we've seen this before. Tom Brady is putting up something that we haven't seen before. And we thought we had seen it with Joe Montana, and we did. And then Tom Brady came along, and then we don't bring up Joe Montana anymore. You know, baseball, we're still waiting for who is that next guy that you go, I got to watch that guy. Golf is going to have a hard time replacing Tiger. Who is the guy that you actually tune in to watch? And you could get ratings. All right, one more hour to go. More phone calls as well. 877-3DP-SHOW. I'm going to tell you about a great golf story coming up in about 5, 10 minutes from now here on the Dan Patrick Show.